Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts, and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. All right. Craig will lead us in singing.
Number 28. Get the right page here. Please stand if you would. Holy God, we praise thy name. Ninety-three. He's three.
The Lord's my ship.
Turn to Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. Let me read the first 20 verses. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, "Why do thy disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread." But he answered and said unto them, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death. But ye say, Whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, It is a gift, or whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honor not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. And he called the multitude. He's speaking to us now. He's speaking to us. He's called us together here. And he said to them, Hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, This defileth a man. Then came his disciples and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, Are ye also yet without understanding? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands defiles not a man. Let's pray. Our Father, once again we ask that you bless your word, that you make your presence known here this morning, that you enable me to rightly divide the word of truth, that you send forth your word in power, comfort the heart of those that need comfort. Pray for those here, Father, that are sick, those who are under heavy trials. Lord, you know every problem we have. We look to Thee for the ability to handle what You send our way. And we know that our Father does all things well. Help us to trust You. Help us to look to You at all times. But especially this morning, this hour, help us to give unto You the glory and honor as due unto Your name. In the name of Christ, we pray and amen. The title of the message is Truth or Tradition. Truth or Tradition. Our Lord exposes false religion for what it is. In verse 9, he calls it vain. It's empty. It's useless, is what it is. True worship, and we are going to see this as we go along. True worship comes from the heart. It's God doing business in the heart. It's the inner man engaged in worship. It's an act of faith. True worship is an act of faith. He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If I'm going to seek God for mercy, I must believe that He's going to give it to me. That He delights to show mercy. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. True worship is done with understanding. The Son of God hath come, it says, and given us an understanding. Do you understand what you're doing this morning? Do you understand what's going on? Why do you understand that? God gave it to you. That understanding came from God. It came from God. Now, I'm not saying that outward worship has no significance. We gather together here this morning to worship. We pray publicly. We sing praises as we have this morning. They have their importance. But every bit of what we have done here this morning can be done accurately and worship never happen. And God never be worshipped. That's scary to me. I don't want to meet here because it's Sunday and this is what we do. I want to meet here to worship God. To worship Him, to bow down to Him, to acknowledge Him, to give unto Him the glory due unto His name. The outside of the cup can be clean, while the inside is filthy. Without the heart, worship is an abomination to God. Scripture says, bodily exercise profits little. And that is the bodily exercise of religion. That's what he's talking about. The real profit is done in the heart. God is worshipped from the heart. Now it says in verse 1, the Pharisees and the scribes, they came to Jesus. These guys were like flies at a picnic. That's what they're like. Just pesty. Pesty. But they came for this purpose, to find fault. They came to find fault with the Lord's disciples and to find fault with the Lord Himself. A fault that was not a fault. It was not a fault what they were doing. But they made it a fault by their traditions. False religion always binds its captives with man-made laws and rules and regulation that has nothing to do with God. You know that this thing of washing the hands that they are talking about here had a death penalty attached to it? That's how serious it was. And the reason being, they made this, here's the doctrinal value of what they attached to it. They made this thing of washing the hands many, many times as part of righteousness, as part of acceptance with God. That's the value they attached to this thing of washing hands. You and I could wash our hands till they bleed, and it will not affect our hearts. It won't affect my heart. I can wash my hands till they're raw, and it will not affect my standing with God. It will not make me any more accepted of God. Now, after you hear and understand the gospel, you really see the foolishness of this. But it was dead serious with them. It was very serious with them. They came to correct the Lord concerning His disciples not washing their hands. It was just unheard of for them to do this. We must be very careful in worship. We got to be careful in worship. We must never introduce our tradition. Well, this is the way we've always done it. Well, you know, you might have been wrong all the time. We must never introduce our tradition in place of or alongside of God's revealed way and word. One time, me and Henry was talking. It's been several years ago. This is why when you get older, you preach longer. You tell too many stories. But we were talking, and the men would always meet back in the study, like I was talking to you about earlier. And we'd read the Word of God. Someone would read and pray, and then we'd come out. After everybody went out, I was going to read. Henry always had somebody to read in the evening service. Usually one of us elders, he'd have to read. And he said to me, after everybody had gone, he said, "You know, John," he said, "I think it would be so much better We come here Sunday morning, we have the Bible class. He said, we preach the message. He said, to me, it'd be so much better just to go home and rest and not come back in the evening. He said, just go home and rest. He said, we don't know how to rest. He said, but it's such a tradition here, they'd probably have mutiny. He said, it'd probably be mutiny if I did that. We get bogged down with this is the way we do it. And we have no scriptural back or reference for it at all. At all. And here's what happened, though. The elders set aside God's command in order to set up their tradition. That's what they did. They took God's command to honor your mother and father, and they set that aside. And they said, Lord, they said to Jesus, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders in not washing their hands? You know, he doesn't answer their question. I noticed he didn't answer. He asked them a question. He asked them a question. See, he's the sovereign. He's the sovereign. Job said, it's written in the book of Job, he gives no account of any of his matters. The Lord asked them a question. Why do you transgress the commandment of God? Someone I was reading said this. What is a tradition compared to a commandment from God? And what is an elder compared to God? And who gave you the right? Who gave you the right, the authority to set aside God's word? We don't have that right. I'm not going to take the word of God and pick and choose what I like and what I don't like. God's children love his word. That's why I read Psalm 119. David said, I love your word. I meditate in it day. He said, it's better to me than all the riches I've got. God gave the command for children to honor their parents, to speak well of them, to treat them right, and when they get old, take care of them. That's part of that command. When they get old, take care of them. Take care of them. Help them in their old age. Help supply their need. Take care of them. This is a command of God. But the elders found they made a way around this. They made a way around this command. Just say, we got a good idea. They probably had a little meeting and all of a sudden came up with a good idea on how to make more money for the temple and how to make more money for them to get a hold of. This is what they did. Just say that the gift, they're in verse 5, just say that the gift that would have been profitable to you, mom and dad, that would have helped you, I've dedicated it to God. I dedicated that to God. Now that sounds real spiritual, doesn't it? That just sounds so spiritual. Christ saying, that does not nullify the word of God. You didn't set aside everything you have. No, but what I was going to use to help you all with, we dedicated it to God. They found a way to raise more money for themselves, what they did. We can never nullify God's word. By man-made laws and rights. Can't do it. Even if we make it look godly. Even if we make it look godly. By tradition, they made the commandment of God, in verse 6, of non-effect. Nothing. That's what that is. Nothing. Empty. the command that God gave to honor your mother and your father. And I tell you what, the scripture says, he that curses them, let him die of the dead. There was a death penalty attached to that. So they just removed the command and left the death penalty. This way they got the money. Scare them to death. Not to care for father and mother. The Lord said, that's not going to happen. No, he said, you take care of them. You take care of them. Now the Lord uses the word to reveal their true character. He said, well did Isaiah write of you. Well did Isaiah write of you, hypocrites. Hypocrites. You know what the hypocrites were back in that day? Actors. That's what we call actors today. They called hypocrites back then. Hypocrites. No heart. All pretense. All outward show. No heart conviction of sin. No love for Christ. No faith in Christ. It's all pretense. It's all show. Salvation is Jesus Christ enthroned in the heart. That's what it is. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's salvation. Salvation is not me believing some things about Christ. It's not me believing some facts about God. It's God in me. It's Christ in you. That's salvation. Christ enthroned in the heart, and that's no pretense. It's no pretense. And the Lord said, vain, verse 9, vain, empty religion. They draw nigh with their lips. They would stand out there on the streets, and they would make their long prayers to be heard of men. And Christ said, you're a bunch of hypocrites. That's all you are. Because there's no heart in it. Your hearts, he said, are far from God. God said in Proverbs, son, give me thine heart. For out of it are the issues of life. If God has my heart, he has me. Whatever has your heart has you. That's what has you. Salvation is an inward work of grace of God in the heart. Look over in Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36. Let me read two or three verses here in verse 24. Ezekiel 36, 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart. This happens in the new birth. A new heart also will I give you. I heard someone on TV the other day. They said, would you give Jesus your heart? What's he going to do with it? What's he going to do with it? What does he want my heart for? I'm telling you the truth. What I need is for him to give me a heart. To create within me a clean heart and a right spirit, David said. A new heart also will I give you. Listen, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. But that's not going to happen until he gives you a new heart. A heart to love God. A heart to receive the truth. Until that happens, I don't have anything to receive the truth in. Now in verse 10, the Lord passes by the learned and he calls the multitude of sinners to himself. Those Pharisees and Sadducees, they were so learned they couldn't even be taught. Pray we never get to that place. Here's the real problem. Here it is. Verse 11. The problem's not dirty hands. That's what. It's not me eating with dirty hands. The problem is a dirty heart. Look over in Luke chapter 11. The Lord offended these guys, but they needed to be offended. Let me tell you something. A gospel that does not offend is not the gospel of God. You mark that down. If it doesn't offend human nature, it's not of God. Luke chapter 11, look in verse 37. And as he spake, a certain Pharisee besought him to dine with him. And he went in and sat down to meat. When the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first washed before dinner. Now, first of all, I know he did that on purpose, because he's going to address this issue. And when that Pharisee noticed that the Lord did not wash his hands before dinner. And the Lord said unto him, now do you Pharisees, this is kind of a tough way to have a dinner. Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness. These are the most moral people in town. Are you serious? These are all the churchgoers. These are the first ones that show up at every conference. They're it. They are the in crowd in church. And he says this, you're full of wickedness, you fools. Did not he that made that which is without make that which is within also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, and behold, all things are clean to you. Give it from the heart. But woe to you Pharisees, for ye tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and you pass over judgment and the love of God. These ought to be done and not leave the other undone. Woe unto you Pharisees, for you love the uppermost seats in the synagogue. He's reading in their heart. He's reading in their heart. That's what's going on. He's telling them exactly what's going on the inside. God looks on the heart. And he said, you love the uppermost seats in the synagogues and greetings in the markets. Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are as graves. I was out here looking at these graves yesterday. Which appear not, and the men that walk over them are not aware of them. Then answered one of the lawyers and said to him, Master, thus saying, you reproach us also, you reckon? And he said, woe to you also, you lawyers, for you laden men with burdens grievous to be borne, and you yourselves touch not the burdens with one of your fingers. Woe to you, for ye build the sepulchres of the prophets, and your fathers killed them. Truly you bear witness that you allow the deeds of your fathers, for they indeed killed them, and you build their sepulchres. You praise them, make monuments to them. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I'll send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they'll slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of what we just studied this morning, Abel. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Woe to you lawyers, for ye have taken away the key of knowledge. You know what the key of knowledge is? Jesus Christ himself. He said back there in 49, therefore also said the wisdom of God. Speaking to him. You enter not in yourselves, and them that were entering in, you hindered them, you stopped them. Boy, you can imagine that dinner. He read them, their heart. He said, this is who you are. You got the people fooled, but you don't have God fooled. That's why you say you don't have God fooled. And the disciples, if you go back to verse chapter 15, then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou not that the Pharisees were offended? Yeah, I know it. Truth always offends liars. It'll always offend a liar. I'll tell you what, listen. They were born offended, they're going to live offended, and they're going to die offended. And we're not going to change the truth, keep offending somebody. The gospel is offensive. And he said, my heavenly Father will root out all false pretenders with the truth. He's going to root them all out. Don't get caught up fighting false religion. It's never going to change. It's never going to change. He said in verse 14, and this is one thing you never want to happen. I never want this to happen to me. Christ said, God said, leave him alone. You never want God to leave you alone. Let him alone. There's a place in the Old Testament that says, Ephraim is joined to his idols. Leave him alone. Lord, don't leave me alone. Trouble me. Trouble me where I need to be troubled. Trouble me when I need to be troubled. And comfort me when I need to be comforted. There's a time to just let him alone. Not court their approval. Not tolerate it. We have to tolerate a lot of things, don't we? We have to tolerate because of sin and because of our nature, because of who and what we are. We tolerate. You have to tolerate me. You're going to find that out. You're going to have to tolerate me. But there is a point. There is a point where tolerance becomes approval. And wisdom is knowing when to stop that tolerance and take a stand. He said, if the blind lead the blind, they'll both fall in the ditch. That is a ditch of lies, ditch of errors. How important. Now you think about this. How important is it, the person you're following? I stand here preaching every week. Take the word of God and make sure of what I'm saying is the truth. And I do the same thing. Never blindly follow somebody. You both might fall in the ditch. Here's the truth of the matter. All right. Here's the truth of the matter. 15 through 20. Well, I'll wind this up. Nothing. Absolutely nothing that I eat, even if I do it with the dirtiest hands, if I've been out in the field all day, or out working, or out in a shop, and I come home and my hands are dirty, and I pick a sandwich up, and I eat that, whatever dirt is on my hands never enters my soul. It can't enter my soul. I might get salmonella from something I eat, but I ain't going to get sin from it. I'm not going to get sin from it. Sin is not in a bottle. I had someone talk to me. Oh, it's been probably a few weeks ago. They was troubled about drinking wine. And they wanted to know what I thought about it. They said, I want to talk to you about it. I said, okay. And so we sat down and talked about it. And to keep it short, I said, there's one thing you've got to understand. First of all, if it bothers you to do it, don't do it. I said, don't do it. That's what Paul said. If it bothers my brother to eat meat, then I just not eat meat, but that's not my, but that doesn't mean it's my problem. It's the weaker brother. I said, but here's what I want you to understand. Sin is not in this glass. Sin is not in drugs. There's no sin in drugs. Sin is in me. It's what I do with it. It's what I do with it. It's my motive for why I do what I do. There's no sin in a glass of wine. But if I sit down to get drunk, I'm telling you, if I sit down to get drunk, the sin of drunkenness is me. It's me. Now, the Scripture condemns drunkenness. But I don't find anywhere where it condemns a drinking of wine. I don't. I'll be honest with you. I don't. It's not in things. And we need to make sure we don't put it in things. If we think we don't eat certain meat, certain this, certain that. You remember whenever in the book of Acts, the Lord was going to send Peter to Cornelius. And he made this sheet come down and it had all these animals, all this meat and stuff on it. And Peter said, "No, not so, Lord." He said, "I've never eaten anything unclean." And the Lord said, Don't you call anything unclean that I have cleansed." And he said, "Now eat. Eat." We have to understand what sin is. Sin is a nature. Sins, plural, is what I do because of what I am. You know, lying doesn't make me a liar. Being a liar makes me lie. That's the truth. Because I steal something didn't make me a thief. I stole it because I am a thief. There's a difference. And religion always gets it twisted. Just like Satan in the garden takes the word and twists it. I know a man that, I'm telling you, if he took a drink, you'd have to put him in a straitjacket and take him to the hospital. It's just that way to him. But he'd take the last shirt off your back. I know the guy. He'd take that shirt off your back and boast about it. Sin's in the heart. It's like, did you hear what so-and-so did? That came out of the heart. That came out of the heart. You can't wash that away with soap and water. That's out of the heart. The tongue, James said, is set on fire of hell. Nothing, and this is what the Lord is getting across to them, don't ever, ever think that you have come up with a righteousness or an acceptance with God because of something you do or don't do, or your clean hands, or your... I don't know whoever came up with the statement, cleanliness is next to godliness. Where'd that ever come from? You didn't get it from the Word of God. You didn't get that from the Word of God. He said food. Now the Lord's giving us a lesson here. Food goes into the stomach and then it goes out into the waste. It doesn't touch my soul through the process. And it doesn't make me righteous or unrighteous. There's no spiritual significance in clean hands, in washing my hands, or in what I eat or don't eat. There's no spiritual significance in it. None. Isn't it amazing how religion binds you? A false religion, a religion without Christ, just absolutely puts you under bondage. But whom the Son sets free, He's free indeed. He's free indeed. That which, he says in verse 19, that which defiles a man is what's in his heart. What's going on in here? How do I feel about you? And you about me and us about God? It's amazing what's in here. And you really don't realize it until God puts you through a certain trial. And you realize what's still in there. You think, that's why Job said at the end of it all, oh, he said, I abhor myself. He didn't realize that all that was still there. I'm sure he didn't. That which defiles a man, what's in his heart? Evil thoughts. Doesn't the scripture tell us that love thinks the best of one another? Isn't that? But you know, we just naturally do the other. We naturally think the worst. Murder, adulteries, all this is in the heart. Scripture says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's not what I say I am, it's what my heart is. That's what I am. What does this show us? And I quit. What does this show us? Our need of a new heart. Our need of a new heart. This shows me I need the atonement. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood. There's nothing more deceitful than my heart, my natural heart. The heart is desperately wicked, and who can know it? Desperately wicked, and who can know it? Our only hope is for Christ to save us from our sins and give us a new heart. Salvation is heart work. God doing business in the heart. That's what it is. A heart right with God. And that's what I need. I don't need tradition. Don't give me tradition. I don't want tradition. Just, Lord, give me a clean heart and a right spirit. Okay, Greg.